This morning, the Lord instructed me to share with us, just to examine our personal prayer lives. And this is something that the Lord has done with me not too far back. He took me just to this place of examining my personal prayer life. So that's what I want to do. And what I'm going to do as we walk this path out together this morning is just kind of share my the journey of my personal prayer life over the years. I've been, if you don't know who I am, Steve just told you, so that's the introduction you get. But I started coming to this church at age 11, what used to be on Texville Road Christian Life Church, age 11, didn't know anything, didn't know the Lord, no relationship, knew nothing. And my prayer life, now I'm 36 years old, so I started in the church at 11. I prayed the sinner's prayer at age 13. Now 36 years old, 23 years as a believer, and as you can imagine, my prayer life has really changed over the years. And I'm going to share that with you in detail as we go here. So, we're just going to start in God's Word. It's a good place to start. What I'm calling some preliminary scriptures to just set the stage here for where we're going. Now, I only have two that I'm going to have you page through just because for time's sake, I don't want you to be searching for all these. So I'm just going to read some of these short ones. Four to start. Luke 18:1. And this is the parable of the persistent widow. Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and never give up. Always pray and never give up. That's key. Romans 12, verse 12 says this, "Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer." He wants us to be faithful in prayer. Colossians 4, 2 says this, "Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful." And lastly, which is the goal, which is the target we're all aiming for in our prayer lives, is James 5:16. It says this, "The prayers of a righteous man or a righteous woman are powerful and effective." How many of us want our prayer lives to be powerful and effective? We don't want to just throw it out there and never see it come to pass. We want them to be effective. We want them to be powerful. So God's going to show us this morning how we go about getting to that place. That's the goal. Now, before we dive in here deep, there's a short, it's like a one-minute video clip just to get the ball rolling. I'm going to move out of the way. This is Tim Hawkins, if you've never heard of him. He's a Christian. I'll just... just go ahead and... ridiculous prayer like that? I have. Like the speeding ticket prayer. Have you ever prayed that? Cruising down the road, way over the speed limit, come around a corner, there he is, Johnny Law. And you immediately go to a place of prayer. Please don't let me get a ticket. Please don't let me get a ticket. Please don't let me get a ticket. We've all prayed that, I bet. That is funny. That is Tim Hawkins. He's a Christian comedian. And you can do a search on Google, and he's got a list of things. It's hilarious. So if you're ever having a rough day, just remember that guy. And praise the Lord. That's page one of my notes. So my personal journey in prayer. Now, like I said, 11 years old when we were introduced to this church, to the things of God. At that time, I didn't know anything. My prayer life consisted of the prayer we all prayed as a kid. And I remember praying with my little brothers and sisters, Lindsay, Ashley, Tyler. If you know who they are, most of you. But at that time, and the reason we even started at church, my parents, my mom, my stepdad, were separated. Through that situation, the Lord introduced my mom to Christian Life Church, started getting counseling, and she's starting to believe that the Lord's going to restore their marriage. So I remember praying with the kids. We would say that prayer, "Now I lay me down to sleep." You know that one. We're not even going to go through that. But we would pray that, and we had this routine. We would say that together, and then at the end of that prayer, the kids, Lindsay, Ashley, and Tyler, would rattle off this long list of names. "Thank you, Lord, for Graham and Aunt Joanne, and thank you for Grandma Brenda and Grandpa Jay," and they would just run right down the list, the whole family, which would take like an hour because we had this huge family. And at the very end of that prayer, they would say every night, "And please bring my daddy home." That was their prayer. And eventually, you know, I don't know how long later, months, years later, the Lord did that. He restored their marriage. Tyrone came home, and praise the Lord. That situation led me to a place 2 years later at 13, through that situation, to accept the Lord as my personal Savior, and we were off and running. So he used that bad situation. He can use bad situations. You know, he's so good at that. So he did that. So now, that's where we all started. A few years later, I'm now 16 years of age, and at that point, up until then, I didn't really need to pray for anything, and I don't really think I did. Other than that same prayer we always prayed. But at 16, you start getting more independent. You start wanting to do things. And so there's now a need for me to start praying. So I find two scriptures in particular in the Bible, and I base my entire prayer life at that time on these two scriptures. Mark 11:24. Do we know that one? It's a good one. "Therefore, I tell you, whatsoever you ask for in prayer, if you believe that you have received it, it shall be yours." That's a pretty good one. Whatever you ask for, and now I'm 16 reading this. Whatever you ask for, Kirby, if you believe you receive it, it's yours. This is another one. We were a big hunting and fishing family. So this one was key in this area of my life. Genesis 1:28, I'm going to give you a paraphrased version. But this is after God created everything. He made Adam and Eve, and he says to Adam, "I've now given you dominion over all the fish of the sea, the beasts of the field, and the birds of the air." He's given me, as a hunter and fisherman, "Kirby, I'm giving you dominion. Go and subdue the earth, because I've given you dominion over the birds of the air, the beasts of the field, the fish of the sea." So that was my hunting and fishing prayer. So, I'm trout fishing now. And I got these two scriptures. Whatever I ask for, and he's given me dominion over these fish. I remember my dad takes us to Muddy Creek. My dad raised us. He taught us how to fish. We go to Muddy Creek. First day, it's like 20 minutes before. "Connie, I can't see you. Do that." "No, I can't see my wife." So I'm sitting there, and I have this written down. I pull this out. Here I am. There's guys on my right and my left. I have this nice little spot, and I get out the word. Mark 11:24, Genesis 1:28, and I'm reminding the Lord, this is what your word says. So I just pray this prayer. Lord, you give me dominion over the fish, you know, of this water, and I'm standing on your word right now. Your word also says, whatever I ask for, you're going to give it to me. I want my limit. And I'm releasing angels. I don't even know where I got learned that. I'm releasing angels to go downstream and upstream and bring the fish right to me. Right past the other people that are fishing, bring them right to my hole, Lord. Let them bite on my line and get hooked, and I want my limit. So this is what I did. Time to start fishing, you throw in there, you catch one. Boom, reel it in, you know, put it in my little bag. Thank you, Lord, for answering my prayer. Thank you for giving me that trout. And this is what I would say, but Lord, I'm not satisfied yet. And I would do it again. Boom, catch another one. Lord, I'm not, thank you, Lord, but I'm not satisfied yet. I wanted my limit. So 6 fish later, I now have my limit. The guys to my right and my left are like, what is the deal? This is a young kid. He's using the same bait. We're all throwing in the same pole, in the same hole, and he's catching all the fish. They had no idea what I had in my pocket. So I get up and leave. The guy beside me, like, grab. He runs over there to my spot, and now he's fishing in the hole where I just caught out all the fish. So praise the Lord. But the Lord answered my prayers. Deer hunting. We were raised as hunters. I did the same thing for deer hunting. Dominion over the beasts of the field, Lord. That includes whitetails. Whatever I ask for in prayer, believe I'm going to receive it. Lord, I want a buck. I want a legal buck as soon as it gets light. Sitting there, I didn't pray that. I wasn't thinking. I didn't pray that way. I prayed legal deer. So I'm, again, releasing angels. Lord, send them out to the north, the south, the east, the west. Bring them into my area. Let me see them before. I can recite this because I do it every year. Let me see them before they get here, Lord. Blind their senses so they don't they don't see or smell me. Block their senses. It's like takes the challenge out of the hunt. It's ridiculous. Lord, if I'm aiming high, drop the bullet down. If I'm aiming low, raise the bullet up. It's crazy, but it worked. Praise the Lord. I got deer after deer after deer. It's unbelievable. This is how I prayed, 16 years old. And this worked. So if it works, don't fix it, right? Now, I have another story to tell, because 16 years of age, that's, you know, the time where you start having this, you're independent, now you can get a driver's license. So I'm going to take my prayers, not the dominion one, but the one whatsoever you ask for, because I wanted my own vehicle. I was tired of the station wagon that my parents gave us to drive. So my grandmother had given us some money. I raised up money by picking strawberries and shoveling and mowing, whatever. So I had $3,000. And the word says, whatsoever you ask for. So I made a list. Lord, this is what I want in a vehicle. And I have a picture. Don't put it up yet. I want a pickup truck. I want four-wheel drive. I want it to be a 5-speed. I want big tires. I want nice rims on those tires. I want it jacked up. Specifics. And then the last but not least, I left it up to the Lord. I thought, you know, don't be proud. Lord, I want it to either be red or black. You decide on the color. Red or black. So I prayed this. Every day. And my mom is now going to take me. I find in the classifieds, I find this truck. Sounds like it might be the one. So we go. And remember this, Mom. We went 3 different trucks. The first one I remember we pulled in, and it was huge. It was huge tires, jacked up, but it was green. It was like a redneck mobile. I mean, this thing was, it was a mean truck, but it wasn't the right color. And I was like, nope, that ain't the one. She's like, well, do you want to drive it? Nope, it's not the one. Because I knew how I prayed hunting and fishing, and it worked. You know, whatever I ask for, red or black, Lord. So we go to another one. Pull in, there it is, blue. Everything else, blue. I said, nope, that's not the one. She's like, oh, we're going back home. We didn't even drive these things. As soon as I saw it, I knew. So we go to the third one, and the guy says to me on the phone, I work at the Deal Toyota in Red Lion. You know, pull around the back and you'll see it. So, Mom, you remember this. We go in there and we pull around the corner, and there it was. And I knew this was the one. Third time's the charm. It was like the heavens had opened. The spotlight of the Lord was shining down on my truck. Big tires, 36-inch monster mudder tires. Rims, nice chrome rims, shiny. And then in the back, he had an extra set of like white ones with red and blue. They were sharp. So either way, so I had two sets, which I knew. I thought, well, I'll sell those other ones and make some extra money. That was the way I thought. Jacked up, had a 36-inch suspension lift or body lift, whatever. This thing was immense, and it was nice. Take a guess what color it was. Because I gave him an option, one of two, red or black. Show them the picture. It was like the angels were shining down, singing out, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I knew it was the one. Look at that. That thing was a testimony. I put that Jesus, you've got a friend in Jesus license plate on. I told Rich, when I would pull up behind you at a light, you look in your rear view, you just saw in your rear view mirror, you've got a friend in Jesus. So there it was. That was a truck. Oh, I love that thing. Anyway, moving on. God's grace was sufficient. I'll tell you, he answered my prayers. So now, let's jump ahead 3 more years. I'm now 19. And at that point, I had a very successful prayer life, as you can see. You don't have a whole lot to pray about as a 16-year-old. So now, 19 years old, I've graduated high school. I've now worked in our family business probably a little over a year, which I thought, and like I shared the last time I was up here, I thought this was it. I'm going to work here forever, retire from here. You know, da-da-da-da-da. I had that job. So now I'm thinking, I want to settle down. I'm 19. I want to settle down. So, and you know what my goal was from the last time. I said before, I wanted to be married by the time I was 21, start a family by the time I was 23, have a lot of kids, yada, yada, yada. So that was my goal. Best husband and father in the world. You had to get an early jump start on this if I wanted to accomplish that. So I'm 19. So what do I do? Same thing that always worked before. Make a list. I had this long list. Everything I wanted in my future wife. Now, as a single 19-year-old boy who doesn't really know a whole lot about the Lord, you can imagine what was on that list. We're not going to talk about that here. So, I prayed this list every day, faithfully, every day, for like years. Whatsoever I ask for, Lord. So what happens? 6 years go by. I'm now, 25? I've been in 3 relationships that all went south. Just bad relationship. 2 years apiece. 2 engagement rings. Thousands of dollars wasted. My heart looked like a piece of, I don't even know what. Just all beat up, emotional roller coaster for 6 years. And my whole life just went down the tubes. I'm deer hunting for like years. Some days I see them, some days I don't see them. And before I would just pray and they would come and I would shoot them. Done deal. Now I'm hunting all day, sitting out in the cold. Lord, what's the deal? I have my list. I'm praying. You've given me dominion. What's the deal? And it's not happening. So I'm deer hunting, and I had this talk with the Lord, and he puts me in my place and basically says to me, Kirby, I have the ability to create out of the dust and dirt right before your very eyes the biggest buck you've ever seen in your life. I can do that easily and let you shoot it. Easily. But if I do that, you're going to drag the thing out, take it to the butcher's on the way home, and go about being busy just like you do every day. And I'm not going to have any time with you. So I was like, okay, this, take a step back. That's what he said to me sitting out in the woods. So I was like, well, what do you want me to do? You know, so he starts sharing this with me. He says, why don't you just put your gun down, focus on me, and when I'm ready to bring you the deer, I'll bring it. So I did that. I set the gun down. I closed my eyes. All right, Lord. Every now and then. You know, looking. Hear a twig snap. Look to see if it's a deer or hope it's not a bear or whatever. And sometimes I would get him. Sometimes I wouldn't. Sometimes I would wait till right before dark and he would bring it. Bang. You know. So I start to look into this because this is affecting me now. My hunts are not going that great. My quest for a wife is not working out. So I get into the Word, and this is where he takes me. Page 3. One more after this. The clock stops, so I don't know. Matthew 6:33 says this. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well. Well, that opened up a whole different perspective on prayer. Seek me first, Kirby, and then I'll take care of your desires, your wants, your needs, whatever. 2 Chronicles, let's read this one. I'm already there. 7:14-15. This is a good one. This is after Solomon had finished building the temple, and the Lord speaks to Solomon. Verse 14 and 15. Where am I? Says this. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin and heal their land. That's verse 14. 15 says this. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place. Humble yourself and pray, Kirby. Turn from your wicked ways. Then I'll hear. Then I'll be attentive to your prayers. I hadn't done that, you know, those 6 years. I wasn't humble at all. I just made a list. Lord, this is what I want, and I want you to give it to me now. That was the short version of my prayer life. James 5:16, this, we said this before. This is our goal. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. A righteous man. Now, Joe used to do this a lot, and I love when he would do this. It would speak to me so much. He would take the scripture and say, now, if you flip it around, end for end, this scripture reads like this. I mean, maybe this isn't right, but if you do that with this scripture, the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Does that mean then that the prayers of an unrighteous man are powerless and ineffective? I don't know. That's probably a sermon in and of itself, but maybe that's something we should all look at sometime. Because we want our prayers to be powerful, and we want our prayers to be effective. I want to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. I want to lay hands on blind eyes and have them opened up and see for the first time. All that stuff. The prayers of a righteous man. Now, what Jesus did for us on the cross 2,000 years ago, if we accept him as our personal Lord and Savior, he makes us righteous by what he did. But each and every day as a righteous man and woman, we have choices to make that will determine for that day, at that moment, are we really righteous? You follow me on that? We can't get into that. Just a thought. Proverbs 15:8 and 15:29. 15:8 says, the Lord detests the sacrifice of the wicked, but the prayer of the upright pleases him. The upright. Verse 29, he hears the prayer of the upright. So what did I do? Now knowing this, the Lord shined his light on this, a few other scriptures that opened this door back up to my prayer life. So I go back and I change my prayer life. I go hunting now at this point. I say, Lord, I'm going to sit my gun here. I'm going to just focus on you. When you're good and ready to bring me a deer, you let me know and I'll shoot it. If you don't bring me one, praise the Lord anyway, I'm just going to hang out with you all day. At that point, I stopped getting deer first thing in the morning because the Lord knew I'm a busy guy. I have, a lot of things on my mind. I have trouble focusing. So when I'm out there in the woods, it's just me, him, and his creation. You should all hunt. It's unbelievable. It's great. No distractions. How about it, Andrew? No distractions. It's just you, right, Mike? Just you and the Lord. You can hear his voice so clearly. So I did that. Some days I get them, some days I wouldn't. When I did get them, they were bigger. They weren't these little spikes anymore. They were the big, the monsters. So I changed that. As far as my love life went, I took that list out. I rewrote the list. A lot of the things I kept on there. But I did change some things. I added things like the Proverbs 31 attributes, the wife of noble character. I wanted that. I wanted someone with a heart after the Lord. I wanted someone that had a beautiful singing voice and loved to worship the Lord. I wanted someone that was willing to sacrifice and knew what it meant to sacrifice. Because I came from a big family. You had to do that to survive. I wanted someone that would relate to that and understand that. I wanted someone that was sensitive to the leading of the Spirit. I would pray. I didn't even know who she was. I would pray, Lord, you know who she is. Let her just feel your presence all around her today. Let her hear your voice clearly today. And Lord, if it's okay with you, let her know that I'm praying for her, even though she doesn't know who I am, and that I love her, and I can't wait to meet her. I pray that every day. So that was like 25 years of age when the Lord had me revamp my prayer life. 2 years later, 27 years old, my plan had foiled. I'm years out, but praise the Lord, I was on the right track. In walks the apple of God, Charity Elizabeth Blaze. Once again, the spotlight of heaven shining down. Angels rejoicing. And I got everything on that list, everything I wanted, everything I asked for in a future wife was right there in that precious little gift from the Lord. Everything but the long legs. Oh no. I don't know what happened there, but praise the Lord. He says, the word says he'll give us our needs. He will supply all our needs. Does she need to have long legs? No. But the ones she has are nice. Praise God. So, where are we at? Okay. So that's my journey. Now and now it's continued. The Lord has me he's just teaching me things, just like this thing with Gordon. Sometimes we pray and we don't get the result that we want. But if we pray the right way, it doesn't matter really what we want. Because like I said before, God's will be done for his people. Ultimately, his will be done. We just have to line ourselves up with his will. And then whatever happens is okay. So how exactly, is there a formula, is there a way that we should pray, or we should make our prayers a certain way to make them powerful and effective? He tells his disciples in Matthew, let's turn to this. Matthew 6, chapter 5, and you all know this. This is the Lord's Prayer. Some versions say the model prayer. This is how he wants us to pray. If we can get a hold of this morning and start to pray this way, our prayers will be more effective. They will be powerful. And we're going to be a lot more satisfied if we're praying the right way. If you are praying this way already, praise the Lord. Find someone who's struggling and encourage them. but if you're not, this is a good one for you. Matthew 6, chapter 5. Verse 5. Let me just get you started here. Jesus says to his disciples, "When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask. This then is how you should pray." Let's just read this together. "This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen." Now, you may have prayed that way for years. And I don't know the results of that, but let me just break this down one section at a time, just to make sure we're all on the same page. Our Father who art in heaven. A couple things I want to point out there. It says our Father. It doesn't say my Father, not in my Bible, not in any version I looked at. It says our Father. This speaks to me that not only are we to pray ourself alone for ourself, but he wants us to pray together with other people. Pray with your kids. Pray with your wife. Pray with your brother or sister in the Lord. What we're doing here, our Father who art in heaven, we're acknowledging the Lord. We're acknowledging who God is. Proverbs 3:6, my favorite scripture. I shared that the last time I was up here. Acknowledge the Lord. It's him alone we are to pray to. This tells us who we're praying to and where he's at. We were fishing one time that I was with my wife's family, and the first time I met her grandmother, she's this feisty old lady. She takes us fishing, and she says to us, we're all in this pontoon boat in the bay in Chincoteague, and she says, "Now, I was raised, this is how you're supposed to do this." So she says, "Take a quarter out of your pocket, flip it over your shoulder into the water, and then you call out to St. Peter, because St. Peter was a fisherman." So she does this, flips it in the water, "St. Peter, we want to catch some fish." So I'm like, okay, praise the Lord. We're fishing. We're not catching anything. So it's not working. So I ask her jokingly, "Cirilla, what's the deal? We're not catching anything." She says, "Well, you have to do it." So I'm a pretty tight one. I take this quarter out of my pocket. I'm like, forget it. Put it back in my pocket. And I yelled out, "St. Peter, go tell Jesus we're fishing. We want to catch some fish." We started catching fish like crazy. It was hilarious. We were just nailing them. Her husband, this Cirilla's husband, was like, "What in the world? You know, he's pulling fish off the hooks." It was great. But our Father who art in heaven, we only pray to him. I don't know about praying to St. Peter. I don't know about praying to Mother Mary. I know what this says, our model prayer. Pray this way, our Father who art in heaven. Hallowed be your name. Hallowed just means holy. Holy is your name. This basically what we're doing here, he's instructing us to praise him, to worship him, to thank him for who he is, for what he's done. He deserves it. We should praise and worship our Father first before we ever ask for anything. He deserves it. That's all there is to it. your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're humbling ourselves at this time. Humbling ourselves. Lord, whatever it is you want in this situation. Jesus did it in the Garden of Gethsemane, right before they took him off. He says, Father, take this cup from me. Remember he says this? Take this cup from me, Father, but not my will, your will be done. Whatever you want, I'm going to be okay with it. You know, if we can get that, our prayer life will be completely different. It'll be so much lighter if we can get that. Just trust the Lord. He knows what we need. He created us. He knows what we're going to think before we even think it. He knows what we need. So we don't even really have to ask him or tell him, rattle off this list of what we want. He already knows. We can save a lot of time in prayer if we can do that. We're submitting ourselves to him, to his will, whatever the situation. Next part, give us this day our daily bread. The key here, I think, is this day. A couple things with that. He knows what we need. He wants us to seek him from one day to the next. It says, I'll provide all your needs. We don't need to go to him for what we're going to need for the next week, the next month, the next year, forever. Which cancels out my prayer that I say almost every day when I'm coming home from work. And Matt Forey prays the same prayer. I come down Columbia, off the 441 exit, onto Route 30, and there it is, the Powerball sign. And I don't even pray it anymore. The Lord knows. I say, Lord, you know what I could do with $250 million. But we made a deal. The deal is this. I told the Lord, when you come down in person from heaven, sit in person in the flesh in my passenger side and tell me, go buy a ticket, then I'll do it. Until then, I just keep reminding him, Lord, there it is. Give us this day. He wants us to depend on him. If we depend on, it says he'll provide all our needs. Not necessarily all our wants. All our needs will be provided. But he wants us to ask him each and every day, day-to-day basis. Okay? We all right? I can't see the, I think it says 10:30. Forgive us our debts, as we also forgive. Some versions say, as we have also forgiven our debtors. We need to repent daily basis. Lord, forgive me for anything I've done that is not pleasing in your sight. Ron and Mary Lou Kopp took me through counseling. They said, you need to repent for all your unforgiven sins, known and unknown. There's things that we may do that are sin we don't even realize. So I pray that way. Forgive me, Lord, all of my unforgiven sins, known and unknown. Lord, reveal to me anything that I've been doing that is not pleasing in your sight, that is would make me not righteous before you. Because I want my prayers to be effective and powerful. But we have to come before him in a righteous manner. That's just all there is to it. He wants that. We need to examine our lives on a day-to-day basis for where we're missing the boat, where we're dropping the ball. And he'll reveal that to us. At the same time, like I said, some versions say, as we have also, meaning we did it already, we've forgiven those who've sinned against us, those we might have an attitude with, those we, for whatever, maybe they did something, they said something about us, we're ticked off, we need to forgive them. That's not a request, that's a command. I forgave you, you need to forgive, period. Thus says the Lord. We need to forgive. We need to repent. We need to forgive those who sinned against us. Unforgiveness is a sin. Sin separates us from God. So that repentance, and we're already forgiven, but he wants us to do it. That repentance opens the door for us to come back, just like Adam and Eve. They walked with God in the garden. When the first sin happened, God is holy. He can't be in the midst of sin and unrighteousness. He separated himself from them. Jesus now opened the door for us to come back. It's key. We need to do that every single day. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Mark 14:38. says this, "Watch and pray lest you fall into temptation, for the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." We're just asking him, "Lord, help us. Help us to steer clear of those things that we've just repented of, because we know the enemy's going to come knocking at our door again. Help us to resist that so we can get victory over that sin in our life." The Bible says, "Resist the enemy and he will flee from you." Jesus, God the Father, the Holy Spirit will help us resist that temptation if we ask him. "For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen." Proverbs 3:6 again. At the end here, we're acknowledging him. We're acknowledging his presence in this situation each and every day. Amen. Let it be so. Now, like I said before, that does not mean if we pray, maybe we've been praying the right way for years, but our prayers, if our prayers aren't being answered, that doesn't mean we're in sin. I've heard horror stories of people that, you know, kids were sick or in an accident or whatever, and the family's praying and everyone's praying, and the person passes away. The disease takes them. And then Christians will say, "Well, that's because you didn't have enough faith." That's terrible. That's so unlike the Lord. "Oh, there must be sin in this situation, sin in your life. You need to repent." That doesn't mean that. Humble ourselves. "Lord, whatever you want, bring that situation to his attention each and every day, and then trust him to know what's best in this situation. He knows. He knows what we need. He has a perfect plan. The Bible says his ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. Sometimes we get on the same wavelength as him and we're right on the money. Sometimes we're not. That doesn't mean we stop praying and be discouraged because our prayer wasn't answered. Say the prayer, throw it out there to him, you know, the right way, and then trust him with the results. Cast our care on the Lord and let him take care of the situation, for he cares for us. Wow. That's all four pages. Let's just pray. And then we can be released. Obviously, we have prayer up here if anyone needs it. Take this home and chew on it. Evaluate your personal prayer life. Maybe you're right on the money, maybe you're not. God's grace is sufficient. Make some changes if need be. Let's get to a place that our prayers are effective and powerful so we can do just an even mightier work in this kingdom, in this county, and in our places of influence. Lord, we just thank you for today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the example of your son, Jesus. Jesus, we thank you for the Lord's Prayer, for the model that you've given us. And I thank you, Lord, for the revelation that you've given this morning. I pray that it would not fall on deaf ears, Lord, but that we would take this, that you would remind us of this throughout the day, throughout the week. From this day forward, Lord, let us take our prayer lives and line them up with the way you desire us to pray. Lord, forgive us for praying the wrong way, just out of selfishness, just out of ignorance, not knowing. Forgive us, Lord. But now we know. So, Lord, we know you're going to hold us accountable for this. So just help us. Help us to get our prayer lives on track with you. Help us to seek you first. Your kingdom come, your will be done, Lord, in all of our lives. Lord, I pray a blessing over each and every family here this morning. We pray, Lord, just your hand of protection over us as we leave this place and go on with our day. Father, I pray over this entire church body that nothing happens today that's outside of your perfect will. Lord, that you would use every situation that we encounter this week, everything we run into, everything that comes up, that you would use it to draw us closer to you. Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. You are released.